You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Lou, I know from MLB.com for our weekly chat with Steve Gilbert, who covers the Diamondbacks, who is speaking to us from San Diego. So he is well rested and in a very good mood. I want to kind of sift through the catching situation because I'm reading everything that you're writing, and I think I have this down. They started the season with three catchers, one being Jordan Pacheco, who is a utility man also and can play just about everywhere. Then Gerald Laird went down. So let's talk about how that whole thing got reconfigured.
Yeah, you know, Gerald Laird had some back spasms, and I think one of the concerns they had with him coming out of spring training was how would he handle a workload if he had to catch multiple days, because he is a veteran. He has had some injury issues in the past. And certainly they really wanted him to catch Archie Bradley's debut because he and Archie had built a really good relationship during spring training. But Gerald came down with some back spasms. They had to put him on a disabled list. And so that left them with two catchers. And it seems like that's kind of how they're going to be, at least for the next near term. But then they could look to add a third catcher, depending on how they get through this weekend with the bullpen, because they added an extra pitcher. So now they're carrying the extra pitcher. They probably don't need to do that next week when they have two off days, a rare week when they have a Monday and a Thursday off. But for at least right now, they're going with two catchers. But I always got the feeling, at least initially in spring training, that they viewed Pacheco as a third catcher, not really a backup catcher. But I guess he's done enough or did enough during the spring to kind of show them that he could handle the backup role, at least for right now.
And they like him. I mean, I think they seem to be a little bit pleasantly surprised, kind of putting it nicely, that he did kind of emerge as something more than maybe they thought that he was behind the plate.
Yes, and he's extremely valuable, as you mentioned, because now if he really is that good as a backup catcher, he adds to the mix. He can play third, second, first, left field, right field. Those are pretty valuable people to have on a National League roster.
So moving on to let's talk about a little bit of pitching. Jeremy Hellickson. So he's kind of having a little bit of a rough start. We say that he has two games under his belt, but he seems to be a little frustrated because, who wants to talk about having made some progress and that you weren't quite as bad the second time as first? I mean, of course, no major league pitcher wants to be talking about that. So what is going on with him?
Yeah, he's not making the pitches when he needs to, it seems like. Not having quite the command that he's used to having, and they scored three early runs. The Padres scored three early runs on him Tuesday night. And that was frustrating for him. He just couldn't seem to put that first inning behind him, and he put his team in a 3-0 hole. So even though, as Chip Hale said after the game, hey, it was a building process for him, he did improve. Hellickson wanted no part of that because the team had lost and he wasn't really thrilled with how he had pitched. So he did make some strides from his first outing, and certainly he pitched deeper into the game, which is something that, as we talked about last week, is something that the starting pitchers certainly needed to do. But it wasn't enough of a step forward for him to be happy after a loss.
So I don't want to talk about all doom and gloom here. I mean, the Diamondbacks, as we're speaking now, as we're recording this, a 500 team at 4-4. So, just looking back at the first week of the season, and of course we realize that we are making big deals out of things that aren't a big deal and small deals out of things that maybe are a bigger deal later. Like, we all get that. But what anything like stand out to you, surprises after the first week, things, what went well for these guys?
You know, I think just being at 500 and being above 500 for a day or two there is something for this team, because they got off to such a bad start last year. And they just, 8-23, whatever it was, they just buried themselves. And so this year their goal was to, if not get off to a roaring hot start, at least not bury themselves. And there's been some really good signs. I mean, the offense has shown signs that they were, hoping that they would be in terms of able to produce runs. The bullpen's been very solid. Archie Bradley had a great debut. So there's been a lot of positives to happen through the first week plus here for the Diamondbacks. It's been a start. Certainly everyone would like to be better, but it's certainly been a good start for them.
Does it mean something to them? Did it mean something when they won 2-3 against the Dodgers? I mean, you know how I feel about this rivalry. I find it a little, silly and childish, but they had to have been pretty happy to take 2-3 from the Dodgers.
Yeah, you know, taking 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers is who are expected to contend for the title in the NL West is no small thing, especially since the Dodgers, forgetting about the rivalry for a second, the Dodgers dominated them last year and struggled against them. And so for them to take 2 out of 3 certainly is something that helps build some confidence in the younger players. They hit around Clayton Kershaw pretty good.
Right.
And that's something, too, that when it happens kind of builds up the confidence of younger hitters. So, yeah, it was a good first homestand for them. They certainly left there feeling pretty good about themselves.
You know, I would think that this was, especially when I look at like kind of the Rockies and the Diamondbacks as sort of being in similar situations where there's three other teams that are clearly going to get more attention, that have higher like projections, that people think that, you know, the Giants and the Dodgers and the Padres are going to be in the mix. So you can sneak up on a few teams. I mean, especially like this time of year, I mean, I look at the Dodgers, like they've got some pretty big problems that are creeping up in their pitching situation. And so this is a time the Diamondbacks can kind of have a little bit of fun, I would think, and surprise some people.
Yeah, and I think, Allison, is you know that the game is so mental that if you start off well and you start to build a little confidence and the younger players get confident, all of a sudden, you know, the team can do things that maybe weren't predicted for it. That's certainly what happened to the Diamondbacks in 2011. You know, they weren't expected to do anything. They started off okay, and then they hit a real hot spot, hot streak there in May. And suddenly they believed in themselves, and they won a division. I'm not saying necessarily going to win a division this year. I'm just saying that when a team gets off to a good start and positive things start to happen, those things can kind of snowball in a positive direction.
How's Chappelle settling in? How's his impact been?
Say that again. I'm sorry, Allison.
How's Chappelle? How has he been settling in?
I think Chip's been settling in pretty well. I think that he certainly has a lot of energy and a lot of intensity, and I think he's kind of learned over the years how to spread that out over 162 games and not let it be bottled up for in terms
right.
of one night when they lose. And I think he's done a really nice job with this team in terms of communicating with the players. He's trying to juggle four what he calls starting outfielders and a middle infield situation that's still in flux. So he's had to really communicate. He's made a point of whether it's texting guys or telling guys the night before when they're going to be playing. That's been a big thing for him this year is communication. And so he's really tried to do a lot of that here in the first 10 days of the season.
Beautiful. Well, we'll keep our eye on you. So thanks, Steve. Enjoy San Diego. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Allison. Always a pleasure.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.